Friend of mine sent me this story, and it has made me laugh all week long. It talks about a rancher that owned a large farm, a large ranch in Montana, thousands of acres, great herd of cattle, and he passed away, and he left the ranch to his two daughters. One was a blonde, and one was a brunette. And after a few years, the brunette said, "If we don't soon get some new bulls in here, we're going to run out of stock, and we're going to get in trouble financially. I'm going to go down to Texas and get a bull, and I'll call you when I get there, and you bring the truck to get it." And she goes down, and she picks out a bull, and they settle on a price. And the farmer says that'll be $599, and the woman says, "That'll be fine. Where's the telegraph office so that I can call my sister up and tell her what's going on?" She gets to the telegraph office, and she tells the telegraph operator, "Send the following message. Found a bull. Get the pickup truck. Hitch it up. Make sure the chains are tied down. Drive down to Texas. Pick up the bull." The operator of the telegraph says, "Okay, that's 99 cents a word." She goes, "Well, after buying the bull, I've only got enough left for one word. Send the word comfortable." The operator says, "What?" She says, "Send that word." He goes, "How's she going to know to do all that from that?" And the brunette says, "My sister is a blonde, and she reads things slowly, and so she'll read this big word very slowly. Can you hear it coming? Come for the bull." With warm hearts, let us give as the ushers come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
No. Now, I didn't sleep last night, and I need to get awake, and you're not helping me. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. My whole family's sick. I was happy to come to church this morning, but I didn't sleep much, so we'll get going here. The boys have got the sniffles. Grammy was in the hospital this week. Wendy's feeling run down. Keep them in prayer. And Glenn will be coming home at 12 o'clock. He told me on the phone, he told them nurses to have him at that door at 12 o'clock. But did they find out anything? Not a word. Well, he was in there, and he was good to go. I saw him last night, talked to him this morning, so he'll be coming out of there. Keep him in your prayers. Keep Kathy in your prayers. Tomorrow is your test. Is that they're doing testing? MRI for tomorrow for Kathy with her problem with her kidney. Want to keep Margaret lifted up. How did it go this week, Suzanne? Thumbs up. I heard afterwards you ate enough to fill two of me. Amen. Others this morning, joys and concerns. We're going to break away from what I usually do because as the need sees it, as the Spirit calls for it, we go in different directions. We don't ever fall into the same trap over and over again and just become normal. The Kiefer family, for lack of a better way to put it, and without being melodramatic, is being beat severely by Satan. And I am not going to go into what's going on. You just need to know that Brian and Stacy and Jackie and Steve and Gene and everybody that touches them is being whipped for whatever reason. And we need to be in prayer for the Kiefer family. Beyond the which, I will not share, just know. So today, right here, right now, we know the joys and concerns. It is a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week. It's been sunshiny and it ain't been so hot. And so we're thankful for that. But the thing that we need to be thankful for is that we're here now and that we can pray as family for those who are sick. So stand up, please. If you can. If you can't, I understand it. Just reach across the aisle. Well, not across the aisle. Reach across to whomever's next to you. Hold on to their hand. And we're going to give extra prayer for the Kiefers today. And I want you all to be thinking through it. And we're going to have a moment of meditation. And if it is of your desire to speak out openly for that prayer, then do it. But this can't continue on for them. Come on in, Jack. You're okay, Peggy. We're not going yet. We're praying for this family that is getting beat relentlessly. And I don't ask why. I just simply ask what to do. And that is our job. Christians, our number one thing is to pray. And so let's get with it. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you've given us. We are humbled by that. We miss those that are not with us today, like Margaret and Glenn. And we ask that you keep Bud and Shirley protected as they're not here. And lift up Melody as she is sick. And watch over and keep that family. Be with my family. We got all that, and you know it. But right now, Father, we're going to take a moment to pray hard for the Kiefer family. We don't know, we don't understand, we're not given that knowledge, and rightfully so. We're simply asked to pray. And so we start with Brian. He is affected, Lord, by things that we cannot know nor understand. We ask that our grace, asked for through you, would be given unto him, that sorrow and misery would be pushed out of the way, that this would be used as an example of your never-ending love and commitment. Lift him up, Father. Get him through from this darkness. Get him through from whatever it is that's tearing into him. And for Stacy, she's the wife. She has to endure all of this. And she's helpless as we all are. Strengthen her, Father. Let her not fall into temptation. And for Jackie and Steve, parents, give birth to a child. You know the story. You never quit caring for that child until you leave this earth. Strengthen them, Father. Give them daily bread, that they may be made to walk upright, and that they may be made to be driven to their knees in prayer, that prayer would continue to fall upon you through the Holy Spirit. For the children, they're scared, they're alone, their world is turned upside down. We sit here on a Sunday morning preparing to hear this message, and they are just across the way struggling. Let us pray for them. Lead them not into temptation. Deliver them from evil. Forgive them their debts. For Jean, this is her family. As matriarch, she watches over. For cousins, for brothers, for nieces, for nephews, for everyone. We just ask, Father, that right now you thwart Satan. If this is your attention getter, we got it. If this is what you need to do, we accept it and we praise you for it. But now we ask, Father, that you swing your mighty hand and brush away this evil and bring back repentance and bring back reformation and bring healing. Father, at this time, should anyone want to offer a prayer, hear their words. I'm very serious about that. That Satan is beating that family up. I could just change directions here on the sermon, but I think it'll fit. So open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. I don't think I can take another Sunday of that for a little bit. That was pretty heavy the last time that happened. Luke chapter 16, the sermon topic today is called What's Left? Jesus talks about the rich man and the beggar. Those of you in the Sunday school class, pay particular attention this morning. You'll see why I got to smiling a little bit. Jesus speaking these words in most Bibles, I don't know about the pew Bibles, but in most Bibles, the words written in red, he is telling this story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they may not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said. "But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Stop right there and let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Thank you for prayer. Let us hear this word today, and let us listen carefully to your message. For it speaks to us. It teaches us. It guides us. Let it be heard. Let us contemplate it. Let us not leave from here today feeling that we have done our duty by showing up, but let us leave here today in thought, listening to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I sometimes think that as a pastor, let me back up. I don't necessarily use all the conventional tools that pastors use today. It's not that I don't want to, I just don't. You can go and get books that lay out what's known as the lectionary. And some of you know what the lectionary is. On this Sunday, we're going to use this verse or this scripture, or we're going to use it on this next Sunday. And here's a list of things that fit that verse, and here's some sermon starters that you can use. Or I'm going to sit down and write a whole month's worth of sermons at once. I have nothing against that. I can't do it like that. I'm not drawn that way. I'm drawn that when something gets stuck in my mind, it stays there. Ask my wife. When I get an idea, good, bad, or indifferent, sometimes I won't let go of it, especially the bad ones, until she shows me that I really am making a mistake, which is pretty often. Thank goodness I married her. But I get started on a topic, especially when it comes to preaching and when it comes to this book, and I cannot let go sometimes. And I get worried that I'm stuck. And then all of a sudden everything falls into place like tumblers in a lock, click, 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 that tells me, "You're going exactly where I want you to go, boy. Just do it." "Okay, I got you." And so we're still stuck in a topic. But a series of strange events this week for me had led me to believe I need to continue talking about this. There's a farm right next to where I live that I grew up on. I grew up on three farms. And this was the Carol Leatherman farm. And if you go back in your Henry's history, you note that that farm was responsible for a lot of Church of the Brethren activity. But as of late, there was a man that farmed it. And he lived across the way. And he farmed it for years and years. And he wasn't what I would call one of the best people that you'd ever want to be around. He cussed a lot. He didn't take very good care of his equipment. He never darkened the door of church unless there was a free meal Sunday afternoon. Where the church is situated at home for me, it's on the front end of this farm, and you drive down the driveway to get back to the fields. He would come roaring through on Sunday mornings, especially when it was time of the year. We'd have the windows open. He'd find a tractor without the muffler, and he'd go back there to cut hay or rake or bale during church service. When I asked why he didn't go to church, well, I ain't worried about it. Larry died. No, not too long ago. I didn't put much count in it because I didn't really know him, and I didn't get along with him. And I often wondered why you couldn't take time on Sunday morning to go to church. Well, this past week, I was taking the recycle bucket down the driveway because it was that time, and our driveway's a half mile long, and I hate to walk. I've got tractors that I'll have to do. So I hopped on the lawnmower, grabbed a hold of the recycle bucket because it's got wheels on it, and drug it down the driveway just to prove it could be done. Halfway down the driveway, the lawnmower went poof and reminded me that I didn't check the gas because I was in such a hurry to show you that I could do this. I wound up walking anyway. I walked down the driveway, put the recycle bucket out, walking back up the drive, walking. Could see the mower off in the distance, hoping I could get to it before anybody else figured out what I did. But I knew somebody was coming up the driveway. I knew they were going to be there most any time. I'll send them up after the gas can. So I sat there, and I turned around to look out over Carol's fields that Larry had planted. And his wheat is this tall. And I walked over into it, and it's beautiful. It's long, tall stems. There's going to be a lot of straw made for this. And it's got big, giant heads of grain on it with big shells. And I popped them open. And I'm telling you, those fields are ripe and ready. And the wheat contained where within was gorgeous. And the corn was tall. And it's coming on strong. This man that I often saw as nothing left those fields behind. Got me to thinking. What's left? When Paul Leatherman leaves this ground, what am I leaving? All I ever knew that man to be was not a Christian, and I don't ever think he caught up to it. I have talked to a few people, and I think he held himself away from it. But he still left those fields, which caused me to ask in prayer what the message was, and God answered. And right there is enough to make me think that every time I think I'm done preaching on a topic, I haven't asked if I am done. And I get reminded, what will you leave behind? Ask yourself that question right now. Think about that. What's left? When you're done, what's left? When you're finished, what's left? And I know I'm in the right place because I heard a song on the radio yesterday as I was riding along. And I never pay attention to the songs unless it's a particular bluegrass song. But today I was listening to Southern Light, and it's just background noise to me, but a song started and caught my attention. I'm going to learn that song and sing it. Or even yesterday, yet again, the question was asked, what's left when you're done? My uncle and I went to a man's tractor collection yesterday. See that Sunday school? I told you they'd be in there. Now you would think on a Saturday morning, after I have worked forever on Saturday mornings, my uncle called me up and said, hey, you want to go down and help me start a bunch of old tractors to get them ready for this sale? Yes, I do. We got to this vast collection. It's large. It's going to take 2 days to sell it. The man that owned that collection was a friend of mine. Again, not interested in Christianity. Was building things up, got sick and died within a month. All this stuff is being prepared for sale. And the more I walked around what should have been happy for me, the more I began to think about what's left. We went in the building where he had this farm. And he had built a building because he was a single man. Because he said, wasn't no woman going to get my tractors. Said that over and over again. Ain't no woman getting my tractors. Ain't no woman getting my money. And so inside of the building where he lived with his tractors, he put a loft in there and built himself an apartment. And hadn't finished it before he got sick and died. Was going to live with his treasure. Was going to live right there. Was going to be around what he had built up. Because he was my age. And he saw that he was going to spend the rest of his life playing with his toys, with his treasures. And as I walked around there, I heard it over and over again. What's left? Nothing. And it broke my heart. What's left for you? Jesus tells this story about a rich man. Now, I ain't got nothing against having money. I really don't. I ain't got nothing against being comfortable and having money and being rich. There's nothing wrong with that. It's how you act with it. The story is being taught here. Here's a man that could have done so much good. And here laid a beggar that had dogs come and lick his sores. And if you've ever gotten a hold of your farmer's almanac, if you've ever read in the back of some of the old ones, what's it say in the back? Well, let a dog lick a wound. It's supposed to be good for it. I don't believe that. Because I've seen what my dog eats. This man was sick. He was in pain. He had nothing. He asked to be there when the scraps fell from the table. The scraps. They died. And Jesus puts us in mind of what's left. Well, let's look at it. For the beggar, what was left was his glory in heaven. For the rich man, his agony in hell. We sit in church on Sunday mornings and we hear a man talk. And we hear a man talk about the scriptures. And I'm not talking about this church. This is a generality. And you get up after the service is over on Sunday morning and you walk out the door. What's left? What are you going to do with it? You've been given this vast treasure. What's left when you leave on Sunday morning? What are you going to do with it? I didn't do anything with it for years. I had this ability to get up and be a ham and run my big mouth, and I'm good at it. And I know some of you are back there going, yes, you are. You're not offending me. I know it. But I didn't do anything with it. And I continued to live in hell until I finally realized there'll be nothing left. I have a tractor collection. I love my tractor collection. I got home that night and got to looking at them. Slowly, they're becoming less and less important to me. And what's becoming more and more important to me is the fact that I might one day, me, might be the person that saves a soul. That's what I want left. Whether it be my children, somebody else's, somebody somewhere. That's what Jesus is saying. What's left? If you look at that last verse, he said to them, even they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced if someone rises from the dead. That is today's world. We know that Jesus rose from the dead, right? We preach it. We talk about it. There's a tomb over in Israel that shows this is where he lay. I've never been there. I often think maybe there's a big sign that said, Jesus slept here. Because he didn't die. I went by a hotel one time. George Washington slept here. And so I'm a little bit of a smart aleck, and I went in the front end of the building, walked up to the desk. I said, was it on the porch where he slept? She went, what? Never mind. He slept in the tomb. We know it. We can see it. We know as professing Christians that he died and rose again. And we know that we can prove it. It's not a fairy tale. It's fact. People ain't listening. What's left? What's going to be left? We flip over to Mark chapter 10. And yes, I want you to follow along. I only got a few verses today because that's all I needed. 17th verse. And these are all stories that we know. We should be able to quote them from memory. Anybody want to get up here and do it? I didn't think so. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran. That's important to note in those words. Sometimes we get so fast reading the scripture that we don't pay attention to the little words in there that emphasize what he's trying to teach or what the gospel writer is trying to say. Mark was so serious about it. As Jesus started there in the 17th verse, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on the ground, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him. Note this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Pay attention to the disciples here. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for a rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, well, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left his home or his brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Amen. What's left when you're done? I had to get out my magnifying glass when I read this passage. And you don't have the Bible that I have because I'm telling you, it says right in there, and I got my big eye out, and I looked in and saw mother, father, or children's, or fields, or tractors. What's left? What are you leaving behind? When I was at home living and growing up on a farm, I was always fond of going up to my grandfather after he gave me a chore to do. Okay, what's left? Okay, what's left? Okay, what's left? And my grandfather always thought it was funny. What he didn't realize was I wanted to get done so I could go play. He kept giving me more work. I never caught the amusement in that. That old man was pretty smart. And that's what God says. What's left? Well, I'll tell you what's left. Continue to do my work. Continue to work for me until we leave here. Continue to do it. Lift yourself up in front of it. Be forward with it. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, wrote these words, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It comes from the second chapter. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. You can't put enough tractors in a field to please God to let you into heaven. You can't build a mansion with enough rooms in it big enough to please God to let you into heaven. Because I'm going to tell you what's left when you leave. You're going to leave a building behind. You're going to leave toys behind. You're going to leave all kinds of things behind. And people are going to see this. And the song I heard yesterday on the radio that I will find talked about, I know you're tired. Oftentimes we come to church on Sunday mornings and we get tired of being the pillars that hold the roof up. We've done our work, we say. We've been in this church for 50 years. We've lifted up, we've done this, we've cooked this, we've been here. I'm tired. And the preacher starts to lose his fire. And he starts to think that his sermons have no meaning anymore. And he looks out across the congregation that is looking at him and they're watching going, is he done yet? Strengthen up. What's left is a soul to save. All this hard work. We're going to go to Western Maryland Hospital today. And they need you in there. You ain't got to do a thing except sit and sing. And listen, I think Chris is going to preach today. You preaching today? Yeah, he's preaching today. He just didn't know it yet. Don't you like how I do that? Imagine what I do to you next. Sit in there and sing some songs and say good morning or afternoon to them. Tell them, hey, have a good day. Come to Western Maryland Hospital. That's what's left. Is what we have to give. That's what's left. That's all that's left. We don't want to wind up getting caught up in the church as an entity. We want to get caught up in remembering that the church is the Spirit. On Thursday afternoon, I happened to be on my motorcycle to go for a meeting, and then I went over to this big fancy church they just built down in Frederick, where the boys were going to a vacation Bible school to learn how to do a play. I don't know. It was kind of neat when it was all done. I pulled up in front of the church. There were four men out front. And they were all holding Bibles. I was on the motorcycle. Yes, I looked like the heathen, Becky. She said that one time and I have laughed and picked on her ever since. They were all standing out front the door. There was a roundabout, a carport, a porch. And I wanted to make sure I didn't miss it because I didn't remember what time. And I wheeled around there on the motorcycle, helmet on and all that. I wasn't wearing bib overalls. I was actually wearing pants. And I shut the bike off because they all kind of jumped when I pulled up to the front door. And they were all standing there discussing baseball or something. And I said, hey, is the vacation Bible school still going on in there? And the one guy turned around and looked at me and went, I don't know. And they turned around and started talking again. Is that what you want to have left? I had to fight big time urges. I stopped for a second. I said, God, you better strengthen me away from this mess right now. Because I'm about to clear leather and talk to these people. And so I started my motorcycle up, not so quietly, and I drove down around and parked. And when I came up, I walked right past them. And of course, the Bible school was still going on. But is that what you want is left? Is that what you want to be known as? Matthew gave it to us in his gospel, straight out of Jesus' mouth. What did he say to do? Anybody can remember what the 28th chapter was about at the end of it? The great what? I said the great what?
Commission.
He said, go. All authority in heaven
and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what's left. That's what happens when the smoke clears. Paul Letterman died. But I loved hearing him talk. And one day, I came to Christ because of something he said. Suzanne Mongan passed away, but she showed me Christ. What's left? It ain't going to be the house or the toys or the cars or anything like that that you leave behind. Because I'm telling you right now, everything's going to go to the auctioneer's block at some point. What's left is that somebody said, Frank was a Christian. Steve was a Christian. Jean loved her family and showed them Christian love. That's what you want left. I'm sure I've told this story again, and I'll tell it again. And if you did today's 40 Days of Purpose, which I kind of half did, we were in church, and it was another period of time, but a story that Rick Warren, the pastor of that church, told me, or told everybody that day, was his father was dying, laying on his deathbed, dying. And Rick was sitting next to him, holding on to him and comforting him. And his father had been murmuring quietly. And Rick was just waiting for him to leave. And all of a sudden he started to become agitated and become active. And Rick was holding on to him and he was trying to speak. And Rick said he leaned in. And his father started to become more agitated. And then as clear as a bell, he started going, just one more, just one more. Just one more, just one more. And he got his father in those last moments holding him close. Dad, what? Just one more. I've got to get just one more for the kingdom. Just one more. That's what's left. Save one soul. That's what's left. I'm asking you, what's left when you aren't? Today when you leave here, I want you to ask yourself that question. I know you're tired. I can't help that. I know. I'm tired too. I know you've been here a long time. And I know that a lot of things have gone on in this church. But you're still here. And you're still seeking. And you're still reaching. When you leave here today, ask yourself what's left. What am I leaving? What will be known? Am I leaving this world for the treasures that I laid up? Or am I leaving this world for the treasures that wait for what I did, that I never bought into, that all I did was say, I believe? And remember, there are those out there waiting to hear you tell that story and have that as what's left. This was a week of reminding myself that everything that I want is fun. I don't deny it. Have toys. Remember where your focus is on what's left. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, your name is hallowed. Your gift, your treasure, your everything for us is beyond measure. And it's given so freely. What's left? I'll tell you what's left. More work to do. Act like my grandfather to all of us. When we look and say, what's left? I'll give you something else to do. I'll give you someone else to love. I'll give you someone else to witness to. I'll give you something else. What's left? I'll tell you what's left. Is to continue looking for those souls that you can show them your Son through us until we leave here to be with you. I pray upon my family here this morning that when they leave here, they're asking themselves, okay, what next? What's left? What do I want to leave behind? Lift them up, Father. Guide them as they go from here. And let them see the same things that you show me that gives me these words from you.
that we may be as a strong unit, ready to stand up against the enemy. Strengthen us, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need it today, as always, prayer is readily, abundantly, favorably. Can I get any more stuff words in there? Readily. Did I say that? Here at the front, with me, with anyone, anything on your heart, as we sing this last hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 489.
But show them where they can still work. Pray for that, Father. Keep them safe and bring us back together as family, as friends, as yours. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.